Blog Talk Radio.
Isn't that beautiful knowing that
yes.
we all have a new beginning? We can have a new beginning no matter what we've done. Amen. God loves us so much that he's willing to give us a second chance. Amen. So we, as we move forward, would like to thank you for tuning in. We are New Beginnings Ministry. We're here every Wednesday at 7 o'clock p.m., and we do thank you for participating at this hour. Amen. We'd also like to let you know that we are on Zoom as well. If you would like to go through Zoom, the Zoom number is 505-563-6808. That's 505-563-6808. And the passcode for that is capital P, Psalm, capital P-S-A-L-M 23, Psalm 23 without the S. Amen. We are moving forward. As we move forward, we are going to have prayer from Dr. Suzanne Hawthorne Clay, my wife, and then after that, the next voice that you will hear will be none other than Reverend Maddie Hutchison from out of Ohio. Amen. She has a word for you this evening. Coming from Proverbs 13, we do encourage you to take the opportunity to read the passages yourself so that you can get a better understanding. Amen. The word says, in all things, get understanding. Amen. So we want to make sure that we get an understanding as we go through the book of Proverbs. We're on chapter 13 this week. So please, ma'am, please, sir, if you have an opportunity, read it prior or after so that you can get a better understanding of what the Lord is speaking through Proverbs. Amen. Right now we're going to have a prayer. Also, we'd like to remind you that as at the end of this message that you've heard, if you would like to hear it again and share it with a friend, go into the archives, go into Blog Talk Radio, then type in We Can Begin Again. That's Blog Talk Radio. Type in We Can Begin Again, and you can listen to this message again. Amen. There's nothing greater than sharing the Word of God, friend, even a foe. Amen. And giving them an opportunity for a new beginning. Amen. Right now, we're going to have prayer. And the next voice you hear will be none other than Reverend Maddie Hutchison.
We praise your name, dear Lord, and we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for this beautiful day that you set before us, dear Lord. In this time, Father God, that's been set aside for us to come to your word. We thank you, Lord, that our speaker, that Reverend Maddie, is prepared and is open to the Holy Spirit and moving through the teaching this evening, Father God. We thank you, Father God, as we dig deeper into the book of wisdom, Father God, that you would speak to us, Father God, that all of us, Father God, regardless of our spiritual ages, Father God, our spiritual level of maturity, Father God, that what we will receive the revelations, Father God, there'll be under some greater understanding, Father God, and for some even in the deductions, Father God, that they receive. I thank you, Lord, that you prepare our hearts, Father God, and our homes, Father God, that there are no distractions, Father God, and no hindrances that would keep us from diving deeper into the Word. I thank you, Father God, that you prepare our hearts, Father God, that we're open to your Word, Father God, and understanding. That our spiritual eyes are open, Father God, that our ears are ready to hear, Father God. And I thank you, Lord, that there be sweet seeds and spiritual seeds planted. In Jesus' name,
yes.
Thank you for everyone that's on the line with us.
Yes,
Father. Excuse me, Father God, those that will listen later on through the archives, dear Lord.
Yes.
Those who wanted to be with us and those who have ever been with us and those who are coming in the future, dear
yes.
Lord. That their homes and households are blessed.
Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen and amen. Good evening, everyone. I want to thank Dr. Clay and both Clays for having me on tonight. And tonight I'm not going to prolong it, but we've been talking about Proverbs. And Proverbs gives in the beginning a clear statement of purpose. It is to impart wisdom. So tonight we're going to look at Proverbs 13, and I will start reading now. A wise son accepts his father's discipline, but a scoffer does not listen to rebuke. he listens and obeys to what he's told. But yet we have the scoffer who is fool enough to reject all guidance and therefore never learns. He responds to no level of discipline. Verse 2 will tell us, a man shall eat well by the fruit of his mouth. But the desire of the treacherous is violent. The man that be unfaithful to God's wisdom may find themselves supported by or through their violence. But a man that has good speech, that he eats well, he's wise and good, speech brings blessings of many, including prosperity. According to verse 3, it tells us that the one who guards his mouth preserves life. The one who opens wide his lips comes to ruin. Have you ever heard someone that, you know, it says he that keeps his mouth shuts and keeps his life. Have you had someone that always talks and every time they open their mouth, they have criticism or they want to speak their mind and let you know what they are thinking and whether it's right or wrong, they just don't care. They just let you have it. Well, that's that unfaithful person who lacks wisdom. And the only way he knows to get anything, he speaks his mind, and then by speaking is not the way to live. Isaiah tells us, which is a cross-reference of this scripture, says, I will take heed to my ways, that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle where the wicked is before me. All right? So that's that particular verse. Verse 4 goes on to read and say, the soul of the sluggard desires and have nothing, but the soul and of the diligent shall be made fat. The sluggard is too lazy or lacks the desire or wish for many things, but yet have nothing, because they cannot or will not apply themselves to do what's necessary, they come to lack. They come to poverty, what they need to do is get a job. That's what he's talking about, being lazy and sluggard, laying around doing nothing. Then he said the soul of the diligent is made rich, though. Here, one scholar says the soul used here is used in the sense of life. A cross-reference of that is Proverbs 10:4. He becometh poor that deals with the slack hand, but the hand of the diligent make rich. Get up and go to work and do what's necessary. You will become rich. You will be rich because God is going to bless you.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 5 goes on to tell us a righteous man hates lying. A wicked man is loathsome and comes to shame. The righteous love truth and avoid lies. They hate lying. The lives of the wicked, they love lies and make loathsome and cause hatred and disgust and becomes repulsive. A cross-reference would be Proverbs 11:3 tells us, the integrity of the upright shall guide them, but the perverseness of the transgressor shall destroy them. How about that? Verse 6 goes on and tells us the righteous keep him that is upright in the way, but wickedness overthroweth the sinner. Proverbs 12:3 tells us also, a man shall not be established by wickedness, but the root of righteousness shall not be moved. The root of the righteous shall not be moved. So you see the contrast between good and evil, how the wicked is viewed and how the righteous are viewed. The righteous, material riches and wealth may be of little account for them in this world, but especially in the world to come. We can work hard and make ourselves rich and yet find at the end of all of that, we have nothing. Solomon even mentions in Ecclesiastes, says that, you know, a man, he works hard his whole life and he buys and he gets things. And he said, but guess what? All is vanity. If you have not God, if you haven't had wisdom from God to live the life that he has called us to live. And he who makes himself poor has riches. Those who are willingly make themselves poor on a material level and do so out of generosity to others are fixed spiritual priorities. Such one has great riches in this life and the life to come. One scholar said that the use of self in both of these, the first and second lines of this verse, to make self rich is to destroy the capacity for life, but to make self poor by giving to others is to live. We go on here now to verse 8 tells us the ransom of a man's life is his wealth, but the poor hears no rebuke. A man's life can be measured in many ways. One is through his achievements and his wealth, but in times of crisis, a man's riches may well be the ransom for his life. But what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? So those who do not heed to the wisdom of God and instructions of God, they have judgment coming. He's gonna one day we all. Because we rejected God or either accepted him, we're going to have to stand before the judgment seat and answer for every deed, every word that was spoken in our lives. We're going to have to answer for that. Further, there is no future for evil persons, for the lamp of the wicked will be put out. Again, there's nothing. The wicked really is the person that does not know God, that does not claim to know God. That's who the wicked are. Now, I'm not saying the scripture says they are wicked. I didn't say they were, but the Lord says that they are. Then we go on to verse 9. The light of the righteous rejoices, but the lamp of the wicked will be put out. The righteous are associated with light, but the wicked with darkness. The darkness here is imposed by the judgment of God. This proverb contrasts the enduring wealth of the righteous with the extinction of the wicked and their wealth. Okay? Then we go on to verse 10. It tells us by pride comes nothing but strife, but well advised is wisdom. By pride comes nothing but strife. Pride is excessive self-focus and self-regard. Constantly generates strife when you do that. When we are so focused on ourselves and everything becomes about you and what you want, it turns people away. But with a well-advised is wisdom. Those who listen and receive counsel of others walk in wisdom. Proverbs verse 11 tells us, wealth gained by dishonesty will be diminished. This is because wealth gained by dishonesty is not God's blessing. He who gathers by labor will be increased, but when done by being dishonest, it brings. When done by being honest, it brings increase. God's blessing is on honesty, not dishonesty. Verse 12 tells us, "Hope deferred maketh the heart sick, but when desire comes, It is a tree of life. It is strength. Hope deferred is strength. And it sustains the heart when hope fulfilled is long delayed. It can make your heart sick. Have you ever wanted something so long and you've prayed and asked God for it and you wait and seem like you just wait and it just becomes overbearing? Oh, my God, when God, when? But if you bear long enough with that frustration, desire, your desire comes. It is the tree of life when you receive it. When it comes, desire is fully fulfilled and brings long, sustained life. Verse 13 tells us, he who despises the word will be destroyed, but he who fears the commandments will be rewarded. By rejecting God's word and not obeying him will cause us to be judged in the end. As I said, we're going to have to give an account. It is only those who respect and obey God's word will be rewarded both in this life and the life to come. God created us. He knows us and loves us. So it only makes sense then to listen to his instructions and to do what he says. The Bible is his word to us, and it is our manual for life. There's a scripture that tells us in Romans that says that everything that was written for our example. It's our manual. It's our guide for life. Those examples are there for a reason. Verse 13 tells us the teaching of the wise is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. The word of Lord is a continual source for all who revere it to turn one away from the snares of death. This is the way that God's word brings life. Understanding and obeying God's word will keep one away from many things that are traps to destroy both spiritual and material. Snares of death suggest that death is like the hunter. There are many snares, but only one fountain of life.
Amen.
But there are many snares of death. Okay, Proverbs verse 15 again tells us standing gains favor, but way of unfaithfulness is hard. Understanding brings favor. This happens both from the blessing of God and simply because people relate socialize with each other, men and women, of good understanding are more welcome among others because of the way they deal with people. They're more open to you when you have understanding and you heed to instructions because now you're not talking nonsense. You make sense. It makes sense, and it's refreshing to hear you speak. The way of the unfaithful is that your rejection of instruction, the one who is unfaithful, rejects instruction or wisdom, and living unfaithful lives to God and man, they will find life hard. And what you do is you just avoid those kind of people because they draw from you. They can take from you and drain when they are unfaithful and they are not open to correction. Another scholar tells us, never was a true saying most about sinners have more pain and difficulties. Their souls are damned by them. The righteous have their cross-bearing, with all the cross-bearing that things that we have to bear to get to the kingdom of heaven, we are still better off than they are. Yes, because we have the King of Kings in our life. And when we are living under his lordship, with the things that we do, our desire changes and our desire becomes his desire. So we no longer desire the things of the world. verse 16 goes on, says here again, every prudent man acts with knowledge, but a fool lays open his folly. Here again, the contrast of the wicked and the good, and the righteous. Every prudent man acts with knowledge. The wise and prudent man or woman not only has knowledge, but to act with it, wisdom is more than in the mind. It is their life. It becomes a lifestyle that you're seeking the wisdom of God before you make decisions, before you open your mouth. We ask the Holy Spirit to guard our tongues and all of that before we speak so we don't sound like the fool. A fool lays his folly open. The folly of the fool is for the world to see, for all the world to see. It is open before God and man. In verse 23, it goes on and he tells us, I'm sorry, not 23. I'm not in 23. It's Proverbs 12:23 was a cross reference for that. A prudent man concealeth knowledge, but the heart of a fool proclaims foolishness. A fool lays open. The folly of the foolish is plain before the world to see. It is open before God and man. Here another scholar says that lacking prudence, a fool exposes his folly. He pours out his wrath and his vanity and exposes his thoughtlessness, and it exercises no judgment. He has no restraint, just blocks out things, okay? The fool, he just doesn't have it. Verse 17 speaks of a wicked messenger. We talk about a messenger falls into trouble, but a faithful ambassador brings health. It is often that the wicked person falls into trouble, but this ever more so of the messenger of God, who has the awesome job of proclaiming the gospel. He has wisdom in his mind and in his life. It's not just in his mind, but he has wisdom in his life, and he allows wisdom to guard him, guide him in proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is a warning to those who wish to proclaim the truth of God's word, that we must speak, that we must have the wisdom of God and not the wisdom of the world.
Mm-hmm.
So we must study to show ourselves approved, that we might rightly divide the word of truth when we share with others. In verse 18, it speaks of poverty and shame. It says, well, come to him who disdains correction. That's the one that refuses correction. He knows everything already, and you can't tell him anything. But he who regards a rebuke will be honored. Poverty and shame will come to those who neglect to heed instruction. If you never change your attitude and seek instruction and counsel from those who offer it, neglecting wisdom will lead to poverty. Mm-hmm. You know, some of us have worked all of our lives. We worked every day. And sometimes we have a younger group and sometimes older ones too. They don't want to work. They just want to, you know, they want whatever they can get, whenever they can get it from someone else without going out and working for it. But the scripture here tells us that, you know, when you don't go to work, there's a scripture that says you don't eat. When a man don't work, he don't eat. So wisdom will tell you that if you don't want to live in poverty, you go to work. You do what's necessary to sustain yourself and hopefully others as well. Laziness leads to poverty. That's exactly what it does. The love of pleasure will lead to shame, because when you have been doing partying all night on a weeknight when you know you have to go to work the next day, then you're up a creek because you don't want to go to work. Well, guess what? Eventually, if you keep doing that, you won't have a job because they're not going to tolerate it. So you can learn instruction one way or the other, by losing or by gaining. If you do right, you gain. But if you do wrong, you lose. The Proverbs point more to fundamental problems, namely refusal, like that of the horse and the mule in Psalms 32:9. It says, this is a cross-reference, do not be as the horse or the mule, which have no understanding, whose trappings include bit and bridle to hold them in check. Otherwise, they will not come near you. God describes some people like the horse and the mule, because without restraint, they don't adhere to instructions. Sometimes people have to be forced into listening and heeding to instructions. Verse 19 tells us when a desire is accomplished, it is sweet to the Lord, but it is an abomination to the fool, to the foolish, to depart from evil. Whenever desires are accomplished by hard work and discipline and sacrifice, it is sweet to the soul and brings great life and satisfaction. It is an abomination to fools to depart from evil. The fool is so in love with evil that they regard it as a terrible thing to depart from it. This shows that evil and folly are not surface problems. They are bound up deep in the person's being. A person's life depends on finding his drive and appetite satisfied. The frustrated fool goes from failure to failure, but the gratified righteous go from strength to strength. Verse 20 tells us, contrast again, he who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will be destroyed. He who walks with the wise will be wise. Yes. My mother used to have a saying that say the birds of a feather flock together. Okay, well, those people that flock together, they assimilate and they take on the mind of each other. They, especially if it's a cohesive group, a good group of people, you learn from each other and you become wise through others and you bouncing things off of each other. The word says that iron sharpens iron. When we come together, we learn. We learn. And when I'm speaking to you, you learn something, I learn something from you. So we can't just live our lives alone and navigate alone and never want correction or be wise and fess up to our wrongdoings and get in line with God's word. It can't lead to anything but destruction. When you surround yourself with people who are wise, you rise up to the occasion with them. When you surround yourselves with those wise, you grow and become what you associate with.
Mm.
Yes. Contrast 21 and says, and evil pursues sinners, but the righteous shall be rewarded. Evil pursues sinners by their very nature. Sinners will pursue evil. The power of evil and the evil one, Satan, wants to keep him in his grasp. The scripture says in John 10:10 says the thief, who's Satan himself, he comes but to steal, to kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I come to give you life and that more abundantly. But the righteous shall be repaid. Whatsoever man soweth, then shall he also reap. So if you reap good, you sow good, you reap good. If you sow evil, you reap evil, according to Galatians 6 and 7. A good man, according to verse 22, leaves an inheritance for his children's children, but the wealth of the sinner is stored up for the righteous. The life of a good man, the good that he has had and that he has enough to leave his children, not only his children, but his children's children inherit. The wealth of the sinner, however, is laid up for the righteous. How about that? The sinner may have wealth. It may be a discouragement to the righteous, but he is confident in the judgment of God. The righteous know that all things are theirs, and God can, if he wishes, transfer the wealth of the sinner to the righteous. There's a scripture in Deuteronomy 30, I believe, around the last verse. It says that God is the one that gives power to gain wealth. It is God. So he can do whatever he wants. He can give it to you or give you the ability or take it from the rich and give it to you because he's God. Mm-hmm. Verse 23 tells us that much food is in the foul ground of the poor, and for lack of this of justice is waste. Most commentators believe and understand this as power in this proverb, in sympathy with the poor. In both the first line and the second line of this verse, in this thinking, the foul ground of the poor exists because of the lack of justice, because it mentions lack of justice up here. In the second part of the verse, it alludes to the abiding truth that there is a sufficient land, but the poor are excluded from it by injustice. And we see that every day among our poor and marginalized people, that they have been excluded because by the systems that have been set up, there's no provision made for the poor that they would have as we would have. And if it was done right, there's more than enough for all of us. Mm-hmm. But the money, the wealth lays in the hand of the most wealthy. So the poverty of the poor is not the lack of food for the hard-working poor. It is due to the tyranny, not the environment. It has nothing to do with the environment. It has to do with the people and the systems that have been set up that keeps the poor poor. For the lack of justice, there is waste. And the second part speaks directly to the things that are wasted because justice does not prevail or work for those that work hard. And when you work hard, it is justly rewarded. It takes away the waste. When you work hard, it takes it away. Mm-hmm. Here in verse 24, we find, he who spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him promptly. We all understand that one quite well. We all have, I'm quite sure most of us have raised children, and we know that discipline, an undisciplined child is an embarrassment to most parents. When you get out and they behave themselves unseemly, it is an embarrassment. So if we take care of that kind of business at home and discipline as they do it, we won't have that when we go out. I remember growing up as a child, my father would never promise that he's going to whip us about anything. When it was done, when the crime was done, we immediately got the spanking for whatever was done wrong. And he let you know what you did was wrong. So unchecked, a child goes off and thinks that it's okay to do the things that he's done. I remember my youngest one when she was, about 3 years old. We were at the mall, and because I wouldn't buy her what she wanted, she fell out in the middle of the mall crying because I wouldn't give it to her. So I didn't do anything. I walked off. I just walked off and left her laying there. And I noticed people looking at me thinking, why did she leave the child? I left because she knew better. She knew, and I couldn't whip her right then, but I could whip her once I got home. So I let her lay there. But she got up the minute she saw that I had left her. But we took care of that once we got home. So a child must be disciplined. We have to be disciplined. God disciplined us as his children as well. He say, whom he loves, he chastens. So it's okay to discipline. You don't have to abuse the child, but you have to discipline. The righteous, yes, you have to discipline the child. And verse 25 tells us here, the righteous eats to the satisfying of the soul, but the stomach of the wicked shall be in want. It was a principle more treasured in the ancient times when the wealthy were able to eat as much as they wanted at a meal. Even today, when you have money and provisions, you eat whatever you want to eat and sometimes eat more than you need to eat. God's blessings on the righteous man or woman is often the great that they have material abundance that does them good. God blesses us with abundance when we do right. It also speaks to having a soul that can be satisfied. His desires are all moderate. We learn to be content with circumstances. When we don't have, we learn how to do without. When we have it, we learn how to use wisdom and not waste it as well. And is pleased with the lot which God is pleased to send them. The stomach of the wicked shall be in want. This may be because of the judgment of God upon the wicked. But it is also true, the wicked and the foolish life creates its own scarcity. The principle was especially true according to the terms of the old covenant. Abundance of food indicates a right relationship with the Lord and the community, but the lack of it signifies a failed relationship. There's a cross reference in Proverbs 10:3, also Deuteronomy 28, verse 48 and 57 gives a cross reference of that same scripture. But here we see in Proverbs 13 the contrast between the upright and the wicked. Now, concerns at this point. Comments.
All mics are open.
Pastor Miles, you're muted.
Pastor Miles, you're muted.
I'm sorry.
Pastor Miles is trying to say something, but Pastor Miles, you're muted.
Oh, did you hear?
Yes, we can hear you.
Yes, sir.
First of all, outstanding. Outstanding. My phone is dead. This only dead. My question is, you came with a lot of commentary. Did you receive that commentary from an actual book, or the Lord gave it to you, or personal old studies, because I would definitely
a person I was a person I was studying.
Well, from your elaboration, please let me know.
Yes.
I would love to have the book.
Yes. Okay. What is he saying? I didn't quite understand what he's saying.
Could you repeat the question to her?
Can you hear me now?
Yes, just a little bit louder. Can you increase your volume?
Can you hear me now? I'm on Blog Talk
Radio. Trevor Maddy, can you hear me? He's on.
Yes, I hear him a little bit better now. Okay.
Okay.
I hear him a little bit better now.
First of all, outstanding job and thank you. You really saved my soul on all this. You gave a lot of cross-reference scriptures. You also gave a lot of commentary. Did you have them from old commentary notes, or did you get it from a book that helped you with the commentary of today's lesson?
Well, I go to other sources. I go to people that have studied it and get, some of their ideas to go along with what I have learned from it.
So this wasn't just from one source. It was from a combination of studies.
Yes, yes.
God bless you. Thank you. Thank you once
again.
Thank
you.
Any other comments?
Anyone?
The mics are open.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was saying a very good Bible word, and like birds of a feather do fly together. And so anyway, the people you align yourself with, it will have some impact on you.
Yeah.
And you may have some impact on them. If you know the gospel, you know God's word, and you're living it, you have a positive impact on the other person's life as well. But also, you have to be careful about who you align yourself with, because it could be a negative force.
True. So true. That is so true. I agree with that. Yeah. That's why we have to be careful about who we align ourselves with. And if we are, our desire is to walk in God, in step with Him, and in our holiness and living right for Him, we have to make sure that we align ourselves with the right people and what we listen to and where we go and how we do it as well.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
I'm sorry, what did she say?
Are there any other comments? Your mic's all open. All you have to do is speak. Well, I might as well go ahead and make a comment. One of the things that I looked at is in terms of we as believers, or as followers of Christ. And you made a comment that says, if you are obedient, if you are obedient, you are strong, and you will become stronger.
Mm-hmm.
And if you are disobedient, or if you're not a good listener, then you will fail, which leads to failure. You know,
yes.
I kind of like that because it reminds me of instructions. Now, we're talking about the Word of God and instructions to live our lives. But I kind of took it back home in the household. And our parents give us instructions in how we are to, when we are away from home. And
conduct ourselves,
When we choose to become disobedient or choose not to listen to our parents, we go out and we choose to do it on our own way, and we make errors. We make errors. And if we are not corrected, or we get away with it, it tends to get worse, and we end up becoming worse off. And when it gets to our parents, you know, maybe your mother, your father, whoever, it's even worse.
it's even worse.
Amen.
So you said that. That's what I thought about, because my father was the chastiser. He was the one.
Mine
that,
too. Mine too. Yes.
When, listen, if I made some errors out there and I failed, then I had to see him, and I did not want to see him. I did not see my father. My father was old school, and I'm not even going to tell you what he would tell me to do and how he would do it. We're not going to go there. But I learned from that, and that's what made me the person that I am now. So choosing not to listen to our Heavenly Father can lead us in the wrong direction. We listen, and that's why I say we become a failure, but it leads even to a greater failure. And when we choose to listen and be obedient to our Heavenly Father, we are strong, and it makes us stronger. And that's and we become who we are. We become who we are. So when you said that, that's why it kind of took me back. You know, that's the first thing I thought about. My training at home, and our Heavenly Father is the same way. He will chastise us. We have to deal with God. I mean, you're messing up, but nevertheless, the bottom line is we have to end up seeing our Heavenly Father, and He will chastise us or correct us.
Amen. I know when we were growing up as children and we would go out, everybody knew who we were, who our Father was. So, and at that time, if you did something, the neighbor, whoever saw you, they're going to tell my parents. They're going to tell your parents about it. And one thing, again, my father did not promise to whip you. He whipped you. He didn't promise it. He made sure he disciplined and let you know that what you did was wrong. And guess what? I probably got 3 whippings in my whole life that I can remember. You know why? Because I was afraid of my father. Because I knew that if I represented him when I went out, whatever I did reflected on him. Well, much more with my Heavenly Father. I know that if I do something, it reflects my Father. It's a reflection on my, especially if I name him as my Savior and my Lord.
Amen.
That reflects on him. It's a bad reflection on him. You know?
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Yes. Anyone else? Any more comments? Anyone have anything else to say or questions?
I just wanted to add a little value to the conversation tonight, being in the generation considered probably elderly now. Not that I want to be, but that's the age group that I would probably be considered in, the Senior Citizen Club. But I think as in that bracket as believers, we need to begin to ask God, what does work look like for this generation? I think we're pushing our children don't work, but they're more innovative than what we've ever been. Like,
yes, they
we
are.
Were brought up certain ways. And our babies are making money and working in a way that their brow may not be sweating, but their brains are moving.
Mm.
So in our work, life and death, for I think older saints, we need to be on our knees about, Lord, what does work look like today, and how can we encourage our babies that they are receiving the blessing that may not look like our labor. Like, I'm quick to say, I had a cesarean, so I didn't labor as other women labored, but I gave birth as well. So the stories don't look like. So in this generation, I don't want us to hurt the next generation about over, because the enemy would love for us to call all our babies lazy and not do anything.
Oh, yes.
But, you know, I had to take a chat to my daughter's house because I don't know how to use a cash app. You know, so things look different. Don't write texts anymore. It's all automated. So in this day and age, as the older saints, we need to be praying not only for our children, but asking the Lord to give us wisdom so that we can recognize what does their labor really look like when they
are
working at.
That's what I was going to say, that, yeah, because I'm sorry.
You know, like a lot of people today would never thought that they would be working from home, and yet that's the work
mm-hmm.
of the day.
That's true. That's true. It is so true. Yes. Yes. I am constantly praying for my young ones, my grandchildren, my daughters, that I be able to speak into their lives rather than to do harm their spirit by saying things. You're right. We all need that wisdom as to how to speak, because just because I know something to rewrite, I need to have the understanding and the heart of compassion to say it in such a way that it does not wound them in my, you know, giving advice or instructing them.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
So I think we all have to, I know I constantly pray that I would have mm-hmm. the right words to say, that what I say would edify, not damage them, you know,
mm-hmm.
in any kind of way, because you're right. They are, this generation is totally different. They are doing things that we never thought of. They are starting their own businesses. They are thinking much differently than I did when I was their age, much different.
Mm-hmm.
And I think
yeah,
that
so
is because of technology and the times that we're living in. Yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that is so true. As we come to a close, we have to be able to connect with the
yeah.
generations, and they need to connect with us as well. I would say that. But everything has changed because of the way they go about doing things. But
yeah.
we have to understand the generation, or otherwise they're
yeah.
talking a foreign or to us. We have to be able
yeah.
to understand how things, what they're doing. Because listen, they can teach the members within the household how to go about whatever they're doing.
Yes, of course.
They when it comes to phones, you know, technology
yes.
and all of that's
mm-hmm.
that's what they understand. And
yes.
so it really depends
yes.
on what generation you're in terms of what you're talking with. But I think with all generations, there has to be connection.
Amen.
Even from the silent all the way down to the younger generation, there has to be a connection, or otherwise there's division. There's division, and that's what the enemy desires. You know, so I do agree
yeah.
with you in terms of being able to understand what does their label look like. Amen. Being
yeah.
able to hear them, being able, and listen right back in terms of listening.
Mm-hmm.
Being a listener. Amen. So,
amen.
Reverend Hutchinson, we do thank you for coming on and sharing with
thank
us the Proverbs and adding wisdom to your topic, because if anything, that's what we need to do today
amen.
Is to be wiser with as stewards, to be wiser and whatever we need to be. More wiser and prudent. So thank you so
yes,
much for
yes.
your study. And I know that we did put you to say this on. We did put you on a lot.
Yeah.
So we did ask you, but you came through and you did a wonderful job. So thank you so much, you know, for making yourself
mm-hmm.
available, you know, to the body of Christ. And we do thank you,
thank
you know, from the bottom of our. So as we come into an end, we're at the closing hour, and we pray that all hearts and minds are clear. Reverend, would you close us out in prayer, and we
yes.
will end on that note.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, most gracious Father. Father, we come right now in the name of Jesus, and Lord, we just thank you for your word, Father, that liveth and abideth within us, Lord. You said that your words are life and they are medicine to our flesh, Lord God. Father, your word gives us wisdom and understanding as to how to navigate this life, Lord, and what is your perfect will for our lives, Lord God. So, Father, help us to heed to it, Lord God. Give us the heart to receive, ears to hear, and the mouth to speak, Father, and eyes to see what you are seeing, Father God, in others, Lord. And, Father, may we glean from each other and the wisdom of your word, Lord God, that we become more and more like you, Lord, as we study, as we devour, as we feed upon your word and stay connected to you. Lord, we give you all the glory, we give you all the honor and all the praise in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who came in the flesh. Amen.
Remember, we must